flown, I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
There's a tree in the meadow where the stream drifting by and carved upon that tree I see I love you till I die. I shall always remember the love in your eyes the day you carved upon that tree. I love you till I die.
But further on down Lover's Lane, a silhouette I see. I know you're kissing someone else. I wish that it were me.
By that tree in the meadow, my thoughts always lie, and where'er you go, you'll always know I love you till I die. But further
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend. We just listened to the great Dinah Shore, born Frances Shore, down in Tennessee. And singing along with her was Mr. Richard Hames, who was actually the relief of Frank Sinatra when the day that Frank Sinatra left the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, Dick Hames took his place. I think that both Sinatra and Hames were kind of equals. They were both the greatest singers that ever lived. And as far as a female vocalist, I think Dinah Shore was one of the greatest. Tonight, though, we're going to roll right into the mystery shows. We begin with one with Elliot Lewis. Elliot Lewis played many, many roles on Suspense. But tonight he's going to be on The Whistler. He was actually married to a Lewis who they both had the same surname. His wife was Kathy Lewis, and she was the star of the radio show My Friend Irma. After we listened to Elliot Lewis and a fantastic mystery from The Whistler, we're going to roll into a fantastic mystery from the 1940s from Suspense. Both Suspense and The Whistler started out in 1942. Suspense actually was one of the last radio shows to go off the air in the golden age of radio in 1962. And The Whistler rolled into TV for a while, and so did Suspense, but The Whistler went off the air about 1955. So it had a long run from about 1942 to 55, and Suspense from 1942 to 1962, 2 decades. If you have any programs you'd like me to play on Radio Masterpieces, please don't hesitate to write to me, Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com, and tell me what you would like to hear, and I'll sure try to dig it up if it's from the golden age of radio drama from the 1940s. Thanks so much for tuning in. Have a fantastic weekend. And now, let's listen to our great shows.
The Crowleys are a typical young married couple, the kind of people you have living on your block. A little more prosperous than most, perhaps, drive a better car, nicer clothes, you know. Funny, too, because Jake Crowley only earns $47.50 a week as assistant manager of a branch of Sellers National Bank. And the neighbors might be surprised to learn that the Crowleys have only $321.17 in their joint bank account. That's not much. A pittance, it seems, to Trina Crowley. Especially when Jake tells her about how they came to have it.
Well, that's all that's left, Trina.
How much was it to begin with, Jake?
Almost $10,000.
$10,000? Where's it gone?
Where do you think? You wanted a new car, didn't you? You insisted on that trip to Tahoe last summer. You asked for this house, didn't you?
Oh, so I was the one at fault. I spent the money. I suppose the next thing you'll be saying is that I instigated the whole
affair. Listen, Trina, we won't get anywhere this way. We've got to figure a way out. I need your help.
Well, Jake, I don't know anything about finance. Only you told me before, perhaps you could have...
If postmortems aren't going to do any good, the thing's done. Can't you get that through your head?
Yes, I can get it through my head. And I won't be talked to that way.
All right, Trina. I'm sorry. I'm on edge. I'm sorry.
When are the bank examiners due?
Next Tuesday, after the weekend.
Can't you cover up some way? Isn't there something you can do?
Nothing. Since that new manager's been in, I haven't had a chance to lay my hands on the accounts.
Oh, Jake, I don't know what to say. It's...
The word is grand larceny, Trina.
And that's how it began. Jake had stolen $10,000 from the bank, and they had to do what they did. They were desperate. There didn't seem to be any way out. No way at all. Then, as though fate itself had planned it, the letter came.
I don't like your precious cousin, Charlie. I wish he'd stay home where he belongs.
It's only for the weekend, Jake. He says in his letter he'd enjoy spending our wedding anniversary.
Well, I'm not going to enjoy having him. Those stupid jokes he tells. I can hardly wait to hear that cheery laugh of his.
And so the fellow says, is this the general store? And the other guy says, yes. And so he says, okay, let me speak to the general. Do you like that?
Not particularly.
Well, then there's the one about the two bookies who went to heaven. I told that to you?
Is it funny?
It sure is.
And you haven't told it.
And I haven't... Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Thanks.
Cousin Charlie.
Yeah?
I've laid out some towels for you if you want to freshen up. And your room's ready whenever you are.
Oh, thanks. Well, I guess I'll go upstairs, then. Say, where's that little traveling kit of mine?
Oh, it's there with your suitcase at the head of the stairs.
Huh? Yeah, so it is. Getting so I can't see a thing without my glasses. Think I'll take my suitcase up, too. I want to look at
it. Oh!
Oh, I dropped the kit.
Oh, here, I'll get it, Cousin Charlie. You seem to have... a lot of money here, Charlie.
No, the kit came open, didn't it?
It's in cash.
Yes, I just sold a piece of property of mine in Missouri on the way out here. Funny old codger brought it. Yes, he insists on doing business in cash.
Quite a lot of cash, by the way, the looks of it.
Mm-hmm, $10,000.
That's an awful lot of money to carry around.
Well, I haven't had a chance to deposit it yet. You know, the funny part of it is, I've been trying to get rid of that property for years, and no one would touch it. And then suddenly, this guy offers me $10,000. Just like a present, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I guess I'll go on up. Oh, happy anniversary. Oh, maybe I'm a little too early for that, huh? Well, anyway, happy anniversary.
You know, Jake, I've been thinking. As long as Charlie has a guest room...
$10,000. Did you see it? $10,000, Trina. It would more than make up what I'm short at the bank.
I know, but I don't...
$10,000.
Jake. Good Lord, Jake, you...
Charlie's got $10,000.
When Jake Crowley found out that Cousin Charlie had $10,000 in cash with him, his eyes went cold and hard. You'd never seen him look like that before, had you, Trina? He stared intently as though he were seeing something that no one else could see. For a moment you thought it was all in your mind, that you imagined what Jake was thinking. But then you couldn't help but know. Jake had plans.
Would you rather see me go to prison?
It might be better, Jake. Better than this.
You don't mean that, Trina.
Oh, Jake, I don't know what I mean. I'm so confused.
There's nothing to be confused about. We can't afford to be. I thought the whole thing out last night. I think I know how it can be done.
What do you intend to do?
Do you remember Charlie saying he couldn't see very well without his glasses?
He's always been nearsighted.
All right. One of us has to get our hands on those glasses. We break them. Make it appear accidental, of course.
Then?
I typed this note. Here, look it over. We'll find some way to get him to sign it. He won't know what he's signing if he can't read it.
Looks all right. Are you sure this will leave us in the clear, Jake?
Can't miss, Trina. All we have to do is get Charlie to sign it.
What are you going to use for that?
Potassium cyanide. The encyclopedia says 5 grains of fate. I can buy it at a photography studio in town. They use it for gilding pictures. That way I won't have to sign for it.
Oh, Jake, I'm frightened.
No, you aren't. You aren't, Trina. You understand? When people get frightened, they get caught. Remember that.
But if Charlie should suspect anything, if Charlie should...
If Charlie should what?
Charlie!
Morning. My ears are burning. What were you saying about me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, you were. I heard you.
Heard what?
Well, I heard you mention my name. Oh, come on. What's the secret?
Oh, well, I was just telling Jake if you didn't like hotcakes for breakfast, I didn't know what I could fix.
Hotcakes? Well, hotcakes are my favorite dish. Yes, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you two sit down, this water faucet's stuck.
Hmm?
I wanted to see if you can turn it for me, please.
Why, sure thing. Let me. I'm a regular handyman, that's me. Now, which one is it?
It's the hot water faucet. Cold water works all right, but...
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be anything the matter with...
No, it's this one over here.
Hey, look out for that cold water.
Oh, dear, I'm flattered your suit. I'm so sorry. Here, take the dishcloth.
Oh, thank you.
Here, let me have your glasses. I'll drive it.
Oh, that's all right. I can do it.
No, let me do it. I can...
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I ever could have done it.
Look out for the glasses.
Oh, look what I've gone and done. I've broken your glasses.
Yeah, it was my only pair.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, you've taken the first big step, Trina, and you're hoping you won't be sorry for it. Jake goes on to work, and you and Cousin Charlie lounge around the house. That afternoon, you're out on the sun porch trying to read, but you can't concentrate. All you can think of is how to get Charlie to sign that note. Then, as if in answer to the question, an article in the magazine caught your eye. There was a solution as simple as that. What was it Jake said? People who get frightened get caught? Yes, be calm, Trina, and casual.
Cousin Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting article. You seen this?
What?
It's about the different specimens of handwriting. It says that your entire character can be determined just by the way you sign your name.
Yeah?
Yeah. It says if you circle your I's instead of dotting them, you're an extrovert. And if you don't cross your T's, you're an introvert. What are you, Charlie? An extrovert or an introvert?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I don't go in for that handwriting stuff. It's a whole lot of fun.
Oh, maybe it's not. They have a chart here that explains the whole thing. Charlie?
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, write your name and let me see if I can analyze your handwriting.
Oh, no, Fina. I think I'd like to take a walk.
No, no, it'll take just...
Oh, some other time, huh?
Please, Charlie, now don't...
Well, now, I...
Here. Can I use my pen?
Hmm?
Fine. Write your name on this piece of paper.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, are you satisfied?
Yes. Yes, I'm satisfied.
So far, so good, Trina. All you have to do now is wait until Jake returns. Then the next step. Jake's late getting home that night. Charlie and you had finished supper and he'd gone into the living room. You were straightening up in the kitchen when you heard the car turning in the driveway. Jake came in the back door.
Jake! Jake, I'm late. Where have you been?
The stores were jammed. I had to wait a long time at the photography studio. And I got it. Did you get everything you're supposed to?
Yes. Here.
Trina, you're wonderful.
I was afraid for a while I wouldn't be able to...
Trina, Jake finally got home, eh?
Yes, Charlie.
Well, I just come in to say goodnight.
Oh, you're going to bed so early?
Mm-hmm. Gotta get my beauty wings. Well, good night.
Oh, Cousin Charlie.
Yes?
We're just getting ready to fix some tea, weren't we, Trina?
Hmm? Oh, yes, we were.
Why don't you join us in a cup before you turn in?
Well, no thanks, I don't think so. Good night.
Good night.
The idea of the tea.
This is it.
You mean, no.
Yes, this is perfect, can't you see?
I'll put the water on. Jake, let me see that note again.
What's the matter with you? You've seen it.
But we might have left something out. There might be some kind of a mistake.
I tell you, it's all right. Oh, it'll make you feel any better here.
Dear Trina and Jake, I trust that you will forgive me for what I've done. One loses his desire to live. This is the only way. You find $10,000 in my traveling kit. I want you to have it. Call up my anniversary present to the both of you. I have no explanation to offer, other than the fact that I've grown weary and perhaps a little old. I've lived my life now, and I wish to take it by my own hand. Please try to understand. Love from your cousin, Charlie Lawton.
Is there anything wrong with her?
No, I guess not.
Put this in this cup. There's 10 grains here.
All right. Wait a minute, Jake.
What's the matter now?
The police will ask where he got the poison.
Trina, don't you think I thought of that? Charlie must have found it in the desk. I used it last summer for developing pictures.
Oh.
Now, you please get a hold of yourself. Take the tea upstairs.
Oh, Jake, I'm afraid I'm going to be sick.
I'm not anything of the kind. You're all right. It's all planned perfectly. Now, take the tea up to Charlie.
All right.
Go ahead. Up the stairs.
Yes. There's your tea, Cousin Charlie.
Now it's done. You and Jake spend a sleepless night, don't you, Trina? Listening, wondering, waiting. And then in the morning...
I don't want to go up there, Jake. I just can't.
All right, you don't have to. Let me have the suicide note. I'll take it up and put it on the lampstand.
Do we have to call the police this morning?
Of course, but there's nothing to worry about. We simply tell them I went upstairs to call him for breakfast and found him... Well, that way.
Jake... Jake, are you sorry we've done it?
Listen, Trina, I was thinking last night. There may be more than 10,000 in this for us. Charlie's a rich man, isn't he?
I think so.
You're his only living relative, aren't you?
Yes.
All right. He's almost certain to have mentioned you in his will. Do you realize what that means, Trina? We'll be rich.
Rich? Oh, Jake, it must be wonderful to be rich.
You bet. Trina, we're both alike. I think that's why I love you so much.
And I love you, Jake. I always will.
Good morning.
Well, Larry!
Hi, what's the matter?
Well, there's nothing. She wasn't...
Oh, I must have fallen right to sleep last night. That cup of tea, I didn't get a chance to drink it. But thanks, anyway.
Oh.
Well, what are you staring at me for? Did I forget something? Now, what have you got for breakfast?
Breakfast?
Yes, breakfast, Trina.
Oh. Eggs, eggs.
Eggs, eggs. Fine. How about dishing me up a platter? I'm kind of in a hurry, you know. I thought I'd go into town this morning, get me a pair of temporary glasses.
I'll fix you something right away.
Yeah. Oh, say, I meant to tell you, I used your phone for a long-distance call yesterday. I hope you don't mind.
No, of course not.
I had to call my foreman, one of my ranches. We're going to enlarge. Yes, finally got an okay of some building material. Figured on going up to look it over day after tomorrow.
You told the foreman you'd be there day after tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Well, come on, how about those eggs?
Oh, I'm sorry. Right away, Cousin Charlie.
Well, Jake, and you are lucky, Trina. It was an almost miraculous stroke of luck. If Charlie had drunk the tea after making that phone call to his ranch, you would have been doomed. A man planning suicide wouldn't be planning the enlargement of his ranch at the same time. The police would have checked with the foreman and immediately become suspicious. They would have questioned you. From that, they wouldn't have found it difficult to piece it all together. Yes, you were lucky. But your problem isn't solved. That evening...
Trina, did Charlie get back?
He's in the front room, listening to the radio.
Did he get his glasses?
Yes.
Good. That solves the problem.
Oh, Jake.
Hmm?
Not again.
There's only 2 days left, Trina.
I know,
listen,
but
this is foolproof. We ask him to go into town for some candles for the anniversary cake. I loan him my car.
Well, how did
that... The skid chains are off and the roads are slippery with snow. I've loosened a bolt in the master cylinder of the brakes. By the time he starts back from town, all of the hydraulic fluid will have leaked out.
The brakes won't hold.
Call Charlie.
Oh, Jake.
Call him. Here are the keys, Charlie.
Okay.
Oh, and Charlie.
Yeah?
On your way back, take the highway along the river. You can make better time.
Okay, I'll hurry.
Yes, be sure to hurry.
Charlie took the keys and started out the front door. And as that door closed behind him, somehow you felt relieved, Trina, almost exhilarated. Nothing further to worry about. Everything accomplished. And poor, dull Charlie was the key to that realization. You stood by the window, not bothering to look out, not wanting to. You listened for the door slam and for the motor to start. But you didn't hear either. Instead, you heard a voice calling...
Trina! Hey! Come on, come here, quick!
Cousin Charlie!
Sounds like he's on the porch. Open the door.
Cousin Charlie, what's the matter?
I slipped on the steps. I don't seem to be able to get up. Give me a hand, will you?
Yeah, here.
Be careful.
Get him in the house, Jim.
Yeah, all right. Take it easy, Charlie. Come on.
It hits my ankle. I'm afraid I've sprained it.
Yes, he sprained his ankle. So you called a doctor who came over and taped Cousin Charlie's leg. He advised Charlie to stay in bed and rest up. He would pay him another visit in the morning. Jake is furious. The thing is getting to be an obsession with him.
I don't care, Trina. I don't care what's gone wrong. We can't wait any longer. We can't.
Jake. Jake, what's gotten into you? Why do you look that
way? Why do I look what way? There's nothing wrong with me. It's just that this thing's getting maddening, that's all.
We won't be able to do it, Jake. You can see that. It just wasn't meant to be.
It was meant to be, all right, and it's going to be.
No. Don't you realize, Jake, there's something... bigger than you or me.
There's nothing bigger than you or me, not now. I planned this affair, I'll make it work.
No.
Yes,
no,
I say, listen to me. You've kept up the insurance on the house, haven't you?
You know I have.
All right, this is the last time. This is the time we'll do it. There's plenty of kerosene in the basement. It'll work. It's got to.
You don't need it.
We'll burn this infernal house to the ground and Cousin Charlie with it.
No,
Jim. Shut up. We'll be in the garage looking over the car brakes. We won't notice the fire until too late. Charlie started it. With a cigarette, accidentally. He was smoking in bed.
He's crippled. He'll never be able to get down the stairs.
Of course, that's the idea.
You wouldn't do that.
We can and we will. Trina, we've gone too far to stop now. Hello, Charlie. How do you feel?
Oh, a little better, thanks. Guess I'm sort of spoiling your anniversary, eh?
Oh, no, of course you are, Cousin Charlie. You have our sympathy.
Oh, no, there's no need to feel sorry for me. Just a little sprain.
Say, Charlie, that money of yours. Don't you think Trina and I'd better put it away for you?
Oh, I don't know. Nobody's going to rob me, are they?
Hmm? No, of course not. I just thought, well, we have a wall safe downstairs, and in as much as you're laid up...
Well, come to think of it, might not be a bad idea. Oh, there's my traveling kit over there. Take it down with you.
Fine.
Hey, Trina, what have you got in the can there?
Oh, it's kerosene. We were just going down to the furnace and thought we'd heat your room up a little for you.
Oh, well, thanks.
Oh, dear. Oh, I've spilled it. I'll get a cloth and clean it up right away.
Oh, now, don't you bother it. It'll dry up.
But you're sure you don't mind?
Oh, no, it's okay.
Oh, say, I was able to pick up a pack of cigarettes, Charlie, in case you'd like a smoke.
Well, thank you. But you'd better keep them. You see, I don't smoke.
You don't?
No.
Oh, well, that's right. That's right, I forgot. Come on, Trina, we better go downstairs.
What was it the poet said about the best laid plans, Jake? Seems that whatever you try, you're wrong. Perhaps Trina was right. It just wasn't meant to be. But you can't give it up now.
But, Jake, regardless, why can't we tell the police it started with a cigarette?
Don't be a fool. Don't you think they discover he didn't smoke? Well, we gotta find something besides a cigarette. What do... Oh, I'll get it. Hello. Speaking. Oh, hello, Evans. Yes. Yeah. They what? They're on the way over here now. Yes. Yes, I'm glad you called. Thanks. Bye.
What is it, Jake? Jake, what's wrong?
They discovered the shortage at the bank. They must have. That was Evans, my police reporter friend. He says the cops are on their way over here now. Evan said he thought I'd like to know. He's a nice guy.
How? I thought the bank examiners weren't human.
I don't know how. Trina, you said you loved me.
I do, Jake. Heaven help me for it, but I do.
We'll run away, you and I.
But if we're caught...
We will be if we stay here. We've got to leave, Trina. We got Charlie's 10,000. Maybe we'll be able to start it again somewhere else. Not everybody gets caught, Trina. If we play it smart and stick together, people will forget about the whole thing in a couple of years.
But, Jake...
Will you come with me, Trina?
Yes, Jake, you know I'll come.
Are you afraid?
No, not anymore.
They're probably at the house by now.
Jake, you have to drive so fast.
They'll be looking for us pretty soon.
But you're doing almost 70 in the road. Jake!
What is it?
Jake! Good Lord, Jake! You forgot! The brakes!
Well, in their haste to get away with Cousin Charlie's $10,000, Jake and Trina forgot one important little thing, the brakes. Jake had drained the brake fluid in the attempt to murder Cousin Charlie. But now, speeding along the icy river road, it was too late. You can probably guess what happened. It was pretty messy. And back home, Cousin Charlie had a caller.
No. Oh, good evening, officer. Good evening. Come in. I'm sorry I took so long to answer
the
door.
Is this the Crowley residence?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it is. But... Mr. Crowley doesn't seem to be home. I'm Charlie Barton, Mrs. Crowley's cousin.
Good. You're the one I'm looking for anyway.
Oh, what can I do for you?
Well, the department got a call from out west somewhere, somebody trying to get a hold of you. Something about some property out there.
Hmm?
Didn't know where to reach you here in town, so they asked us to track you down. Here's the name and address.
Oh, yes, thank you. Excuse me, the telephone...
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Thank you. Hello? Hmm? Yes, this is the Crowley resident. No, this is Charlie Barton. I'm Miss Crowley's cousin. What? Oh, that's terrible. Yes, to identify the bodies, of course. I'll get someone to drive me down immediately. The what? $10,000? Well, that's strange. Well, I was going to give them $10,000 for an anniversary present.
Valley 103.1.
Suspense. Our star tonight is Miss Mary Astor, one of Hollywood's most charming and resourceful actresses. Ask anyone who saw her in The Maltese Falcon or Across the Pacific. The story called In Fear and Trembling is tonight's tale of suspense. At the edge of the cliff, overlooking the sea, sits a gray stone mansion, weather-beaten by the storms of several decades. To this mansion, Gilbert Durant brought his bride, Lucia. That was 4 years ago. Gilbert and Lucia were quite happy until a year ago, when Lucia's half-sister, Beverly, came to live with them. Gradually, something began to happen. Lucia felt it, felt that some insidious horror was beginning to gnaw at her happiness. She began to know that Gilbert's ardor was beginning to cool. He became more absorbed in his writing. Then she felt the cold clamminess of the great stone structure creeping about her, clutching at her heart. Anyone who saw her could tell that fear was growing in her mind, a fear of something which she could not or would not explain. One evening, Lucia, having excused herself at dinner, tossed on her bed in a fretful sleep.
No. Don't! Get away from me!
Mrs. Durant! Mrs. Durant, what's wrong?
Oh, Benson, come in.
Oh. What on earth is wrong? Why were you screaming?
Oh, Benson, I must have been dreaming. It was horrible.
You're white as a ghost and shaking like a leaf.
Yes, I know. Oh, Mrs. Benson, I can't stand it. It's driving me mad. That makes the fourth or fifth time I've dreamed the same thing, the same in every detail.
I've never heard you scream before.
No. Oh, that's probably because...
What?
Oh, it always comes a little closer to me. Tonight it almost reached me.
It? What do you mean?
I don't know what it is. It's a figure. A human figure, but I can't tell whether it's a man or a woman. It comes through that door and walks slowly across the room with its arms outstretched, reaching for me.
Are you sure you were dreaming?
Now that I think of it, it isn't like a dream. An ordinary dream. Its reality seems to carry over even after I'm awake.
That's what's made you so ill.
This dream, if it is a dream, means something? Is that what you think? It's a premonition?
Perhaps. 9 o'clock.
Where's Gilbert?
Your husband went horseback riding over an hour ago.
Did he go alone?
Your sister went with him.
Beverly? Why didn't he ask me to go?
Well, you've not been yourself lately. Not been feeling well.
Yes, of course.
Well, if you're feeling better, I'll go back to my room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, I'll be all right. Thank you, Miss Benson. Good night.
Good night, then.
Beverly. Gilbert.
Lucia lay there for a while, staring wild-eyed at the patch of moonlight on the bedroom door, listening, waiting. Then, as the clock struck 10:30, the door opened, and a figure stepped into the room and moved noiselessly through the moonlight to Lucia's bed. Suddenly, Lucia opened her eyes.
Gilbert, don't!
Lucia, what's wrong with you?
What are you doing in my room?
I just wanted to know how you felt.
How long have you been standing there?
Oh, just a few seconds.
I was dreaming, I guess. When I woke up, you startled me.
Why were you yelling, don't? Don't?
I don't know. I haven't the slightest idea.
I talked with Dr. Handy about you today. I told him how run down you were, and he suggested that I get a tonic for you. I'll drop in at the drugstore on my way home tomorrow evening.
A tonic?
Yes.
What? Well, what is it?
Oh, I don't remember. Something in strychnine.
Strychnine?
Yes, he said it would give you an appetite.
Where have you been, Gil?
Oh, I've been riding. Nice moonlight night. Very pleasant.
Did Beverly enjoy it?
Yes, she's an excellent rider. I've decided to buy that filly from Thompson. I'm going over there tomorrow afternoon.
Is Beverly going with you?
Yes. She's a good judge of horseflesh. Why?
Nothing. I just asked.
Well, good night, Lucia. See you at breakfast?
Yes. Good night.
Something, something, and strychnine. Something, something, and strychnine.
Lucia jumps from her bed, rushes down to the library, snaps on the light, and steps to the shelf holding the encyclopedia. She runs her fingers down the long line of books, L-M-N-O-P-R, and then she stops and stares. The S to T is missing. Then she sees it on the desk, the missing volume. She rushes to the desk and stares down at the open page.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Strychnine.
I'll tell you what, Beverly, I'll leave the deal entirely up to you.
Up to me? Oh, Gil, that's not fair.
Why not?
Well, suppose she turns out to be a lemon.
I don't think she will, because you're going to have the job of training her.
Oh, you certainly flatter me.
Not in the least. Oh, good morning, Lucia.
I just realized what time it was. You'll be leaving in a few minutes.
Yes, it's 9 this very minute. I'll step on it. More coffee, Beverly?
No, thanks. How do you feel, Lucia?
Better. Much better.
You better eat something.
No, I can't.
At least some coffee.
Yes, I'll have some coffee.
I've got to run. See you later, Lucia.
Yes, Gil.
And I'll see you this afternoon at 2, Beverly.
Yes, I'll meet you in town at 2. Oh, Gil, don't forget Lucia's medicine.
No, I won't. Goodbye, Lucia.
Are you meeting Gil in town, Beverly?
Yes, he wants me to decide on that filly he's interested in.
Where did you learn so much about horses?
Oh, seems to be natural. Why don't you get interested in horses, Lucia?
Why should I?
What are you interested in?
Well, I am interested in a few things. My husband in particular.
You don't act interested in anything.
Really?
Well, if you'll take my advice, you'll snap out of this coma and get some pep.
Does Gil like women with pep?
No man cares about a woman who sits around and mopes. I think you're a hypochondriac.
Do you?
And you should do something about it.
I intend to. I intend to do something about it.
I'm glad to hear it. Get out, do things. Play games, golf, tennis, swim, and ride. Maybe this medicine will fix you up.
You know all about it, do you? What is it?
I don't know. It's a tonic, a builder-upper.
I wish I could believe that.
But at least you can try it. Won't hurt you.
No? I wonder. Come in, Dr. Handy.
Well, Lucia, why did you call me out here? What's wrong?
I just couldn't make it into town.
Oh, it can't be as bad as all that.
Did Gilbert talk to you about me yesterday?
I saw Gil for a few moments at the club during lunch. Said you were run down.
Did you give him a prescription for me?
Oh, never do that until I've examined the patient.
You didn't give him a prescription?
Well, no.
What did you suggest for me?
Oh, I don't know. Mentioned a few tonics he might get for you. Spoke of beef, iron, and wine, and cherry and egg, and... I don't remember what else.
Then you mentioned nothing specifically.
I don't think so.
I see.
Now, what seems to be wrong with you, Lucia?
I don't know exactly, but something has been happening to me that... Well, frankly, I'm afraid I'm losing my mind.
We all feel that way at times.
I'm serious. Things happen to me in the night.
What sort of thing?
At first, I thought they were just nightmares, but when you have a nightmare, you wake up and the fear is gone. You realize the truth. But this vision that comes to me haunts me through the waking hours as well.
Vision?
Something, I think it's a person, comes through my bedroom door, comes toward my bed with outstretched arms as though it intends to strangle me. Each time it comes a little closer. And my fear is that eventually it will get to me before I wake up.
See? Always dream the same dream?
If it is a dream, yes.
And who is the person?
I don't know.
You don't think it's really a dream?
No. I think it's a premonition.
Have you any basis for such a fear in real life? Is there someone or something that you're afraid of?
Doctor, I'm convinced they're not dreams, that I'm not asleep.
Oh, nonsense.
I'm positive they're not mere dreams.
Well, I think it's all due to your rundown condition. You probably don't sleep as soundly as you should, so you transfer sounds in the night to dreams and nightmares.
That's exactly what I mean. If I'm only half asleep, I may be transferring actual movements and sounds into dreams. In other words, if someone slams a door in the night, I may half hear it and attribute it to a dream.
Yeah, go on.
But then perhaps I'm not dreaming, don't you see?
I think you'd better come into town and have a thorough physical.
You mean a checkup by a psychiatrist?
Oh, I may have someone help me. It's the usual thing, you know.
Oh, Dr. Henley, I'm so frightened.
No. Everything's going to be all right.
I'm afraid. Afraid that I'm going to die. That someone is trying to kill me.
Oh, you're not going to die. That's ridiculous.
I'll call you and make an appointment.
That's better. Very well. In the meantime, try not to think about it. Keep your mind on the brighter side.
Yes. I'll try.
All afternoon and on into the evening, that awful gnawing of jealousy and fear occupy every moment. Gil and Beverly. How could they do such a thing? And how far will they go to get you out of the way, Lucia? Will they stop even at murder?
Are you asleep, Lucia?
No, I'm not asleep.
How are you feeling?
I seem to have developed a headache.
Have you eaten anything today?
No, I didn't care for anything.
Well, this will help you. Better take a dose now. I'll measure it for you.
What is it?
Well, it's the tonic.
Did Dr. Hanby prescribe it?
Yes. Yes, he did.
Where's Beverly?
Down in the library.
Did you buy the horse?
Yes, Beverly thought she was a fine animal.
I didn't know Beverly knew so much about horses.
She's a horsewoman after my own heart.
Is she?
Rides like the wind, too.
She had intended to go home tomorrow. Is she staying on?
She's got to. I wouldn't think of her leaving now.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, she's going to train the horse.
And what else?
Why, nothing else. Here, take this. A little bitter, but you'll get used to it.
Gil!
Go ahead, it won't hurt you.
I don't want it.
And why not?
It has poison in it.
I suppose it does have a little, yes. But only enough to act as a tonic.
I don't want it. I won't take it.
Are you going to act like a child? Take it and quit arguing.
I won't.
Take it, swallow it down.
I can't take it.
You're impossible,
Lucia. I'm afraid.
You need this medicine, but you're so confoundedly stubborn you'd rather sit around and mope all day. Very well, there it is. You can take it or not. I'm disgusted trying to help you pull out of this. Good night.
No. Wait, Gil. I'll take it.
I don't care whether you do or not.
There. I've taken it. Terribly bitter.
Well, that's more like it. I'll take another dose around 11.
Gil, where's Mrs. Benson?
Why, I told her she could have the night off. Thought she might like to spend the evening in town.
You let her off?
Yes, she's been sticking pretty close lately.
Yes. Yes, she has. Good night.
Good night, Lucia.
What's wrong, Gil? You look upset.
I am. Lucia didn't want to take him.
No? Why not?
She's afraid of medicine.
What are you going to do?
She finally took a dose of it. But if I know her, she'll never take another drop.
She's got to take it, Gil. You've got to figure out a way to make her take it.
It can't be disguised. It's too bitter.
Try something else.
I'll try and coax her into it again.
Isn't there something that tastes more pleasant, or something you could put in milk or orange juice?
I don't know. But I'll find something.
Of course you will. You've got to.
She's... Wait a minute. There's someone listening outside the door.
Oh. Oh, sir.
Well, Benson, what are you doing standing here in the dark?
Why... I was just going upstairs to see if Mrs. Durant wanted anything before I went out.
I see. Now, by the way, I'm staying home for a couple of days, and I thought that since you've been staying so close to the job, you'd welcome a few days' leave.
Leave? Why, yes. But Mrs. Durant may prefer that I stay.
I think you'd better take a little rest yourself. You needn't come back till Friday.
But I don't need a rest.
You come back Friday.
Yes. Very well.
But that night, for once, the good Mrs. Benson disobeys orders. A few minutes before 12, she returns to the mansion. No lights are burning. So she makes her way quietly through the back entrance, slips up the stairs, and taps lightly on Lucia's bedroom door.
Mrs. Durant? Mrs. Durant?
Then she turns the knob, opens the door, and snaps on the light.
Mrs. Durant, are you here?
Then Benson steps quickly toward the bed. The bed is empty, but a horrible sight meets her eyes.
Blood! Blood all over the bed. Get me the police department.
All right, Mrs. Benson. Now, just calm down and tell us what happened this evening.
Well, earlier in the evening, Mr. Durant told me that I could have the night off since I'd been staying close to Mrs. Durant for some time. And then later he said he decided to let me off until Friday. I didn't want to go, but he insisted.
Was there anyone else in the house?
Yes, Mrs. Durant's half-sister, Beverly.
Did you leave the house?
Yes, but I sneaked up the back stairs and told Mrs. Durant I'd be back about midnight.
If you had till Friday, why did you come back at midnight?
Because we were both frightened.
Of what?
Well, Mrs. Durant had been having premonitions that someone was trying to kill her.
Who was trying to kill her?
She didn't know, but she was terribly frightened.
Is that all?
No. Her husband tried to get her to take some medicine he had brought home. She refused, and he got angry.
How do you know he was angry?
I heard him talking about it to Beverly. They were in the library. And he told Beverly that Lucia was stubborn. Beverly said that he'd have to think of some other way.
Did Mrs. Durant suspect her husband and Beverly of trying to do away with her?
Yes. Yes, she did. She was convinced that Mr. Durant and Beverly were in love and wanted her out of the way.
I see. Well, so you came back tonight because you anticipated that something was going to happen.
Yes. House was dark, so I came up the back stairs, knocked on her door. When I got no answer, I came in, turned on the light, saw she was gone, and then I saw the bed all covered with blood. She wouldn't take the poison, so they did it another way. That's what they planned in the library.
Where are they now? Any idea?
Well, they didn't expect me back tonight, so they're probably gone to dispose of the body, intending to come back here and clean the place up later.
I see. Anybody else know about Mrs. Durant's fears?
Yes, she talked to Dr. Handy. I called him right after phoning the police and told him about it. He knows.
Dr. Handy, Captain Blake, what in the world is the meaning of this?
From all indications, Mrs. Durant has been murdered and the body disposed of. Doctor, I understand Mrs. Durant told you that she was afraid that something was going to happen to her, that she was going to die.
Who told you that?
Mrs. Benson here.
I see. Well, she did call me in this morning. She'd been having strange dreams. Premonitions, she called them. I called them hallucinations.
Who'd you think it was?
Well, she couldn't tell whether it was a man or a woman, but someone was always approaching her bed with outstretched arms, trying to choke her.
Do you think it was more than a dream?
She was a sort of hypochondriac. I asked her to come into town where I could give her a thorough examination. I didn't take her story too seriously, but this certainly puts a different slant on the entire picture.
Yes. We haven't found the body, but I have men out looking now. We'll find it.
Here's Mr. Durant and his sister-in-law. They found them about half a mile down the beach.
Oh, how are you, Durant?
What in the world goes on here? What's wrong, Doctor?
Take a look at that bed.
Lord. What happened? Lucia. Where is she?
We thought you might enlighten us on that point.
What do you mean? Where is she? Is Lucia dead?
Oh, Gil, what?
What happened?
We think your wife has been murdered.
Murdered? But what are you doing here, Mrs. Benson? I thought you were gone till Friday.
Why did you tell her to go until Friday?
Why, I thought she needed a rest. She'd been having long hours. Where is Lucia?
Where have you and your sister-in-law been?
Why, I slipped upstairs and saw Lucia was asleep, so we decided to take a little ride down the beach. It's still early.
Mm-hmm. Didn't take anything with you?
Certainly not.
What do you mean by that? What would we take?
I don't know. I just asked. Did you two try to get Lucia to take some medicine?
No.
Wait a minute, Beverly. That won't do any good. Yes, we did. Lucia was run down and needed a tonic. But she refused to take medicine.
Why did she refuse?
I don't know.
Maybe she was afraid of being poisoned.
Poisoned? Why should I want to poison her? Lucia was my wife.
How long has your sister-in-law, Beverly, been here with you?
Well, I don't know. Quite some time.
Just a minute. Are you inferring that Gil and I...
I'm not inferring anything. I merely asked you a question.
Oh, Gil, tell him that...
Just a moment, Beverly. Mrs. Benson, what have you been saying? What did you tell them?
I told them the truth.
You think I planned to kill Lucia, is that it?
Yes, you and this woman.
You're out of your mind.
You tried to get her to take some medicine. She knew you were in love with her sister and that you were trying to poison her.
And how did she come to that conclusion?
She had premonitions.
That means nothing.
And besides, I heard you talking, you and Beverly, planning the whole thing.
What?
She's lying.
I heard you. When you realized Lucia wouldn't take the medicine, Beverly said you'd have to think of some other way.
Some other way to what?
To get rid of her. To kill her.
There must be some... Dr. Hanby, you know better than this. Do you think I had a reason back of wanting to know about various medicines?
Well, no, I didn't. Not at the time, but now...
Now what?
Well, sorry to say, it all adds up to something suspicious. Seems more than just coincidental.
Do you think I killed Lucia?
Look about you. Look at the room. What else am I to think?
What was the tonic you tried to give your wife?
It had strychnine in it.
That right, Durant?
Oh, yes. It was one of the things Dr. Hanby mentioned. It was iron, quinine, and strychnine.
Did you mention that, Doctor?
Well, suppose I did. It's a commonly known tonic.
Did you add anything else to it, Durant?
Certainly not.
How about it, Sergeant? What's the report?
The bottle contained iron, quinine, and strychnine, and a heavy content of arsenic.
Arsenic? But that isn't possible. I put nothing in it. Where would I get arsenic?
It was in there just the same.
Good heavens. Doctor, this isn't true. You know it isn't.
I hate to say it, Gil, but the evidence looks bad for you.
Benson knows what this is all about. She's lying. She knows Gil wouldn't do such a thing. She's back of it all.
Why?
I don't know. But believe me, I'll find out if I have...
That'll do. Under the circumstances, I think you'd all better come down to headquarters so we can keep you separated. Come on. And no more talking.
After 48 hours of relentless grilling, endless questioning, Gil and Beverly are released on a writ of habeas corpus. Weeks go by, and Lucia's body has not been discovered, so the district attorney makes a public announcement that no murder charges can be preferred against them due to lack of corpus delicti, the failure to produce the body, Lucia's body. Then one evening, Beverly and Gil talk in the library.
Beverly, I want you to know how wonderful I think you've been. You stuck right beside me, never lost your nerve, and, well, you're one girl in a million.
Oh, thanks, Gil, but it isn't over yet. They won't stop their search for Lucia's body, and if they find it, we haven't a chance.
I know, but what can we do about it?
Well, why couldn't we leave the country?
Together?
Not necessarily. They'd be sure to follow us. We could go separately in different ways and...
And meet someplace later on? Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean.
It seems a bit mad. That would be equal to an out-and-out confession.
Oh, but Gil, if they find Lucia's body, we haven't a chance. It's too strong against us.
We could never come back, Beverly.
What of it? I don't want to die, Gil. And I don't want anything to happen to you.
Beverly, I... I don't know what to say.
I'm frightened, Gil. I can't stay here with such horrible fear hanging over me. I'll go mad. If you don't go, then I will. I'll leave tonight.
Please, Beverly, I need you more than ever now. Please don't go.
Don't worry, Gilbert. She won't leave you.
Lucia.
Good heavens, Lucia.
I won't let her leave you. I'll see that you both go together and stay together for a long, long time.
Lucia, what?
Lucia.
We thought you were dead.
Disappointed, aren't you?
Where have you been?
What are you going to do with that gun?
You thought I was dead. Well, I'm not. I'm live enough to pull this trigger. I've been hiding for weeks. And I've been behind those curtains for the last 20 minutes. I heard every word. Now I know you're in love with each other. Now I know you wanted to do away with me.
In love? Beverly and I?
From the day she came here. She took you away from me.
I didn't.
We never thought of such a thing. Never.
Never entered our mind.
Why lie about it?
You've let your imagination run away with you, Lucia. You're insane.
You think so? Well, if I am, it's your fault. Yours and Beverly's. You've driven me insane, both of you. I had a plan to get even with you, to make you pay for what you've done, but it failed.
What plan?
You see, I didn't know about the law of corpus delicti, but I do now. And this time there will be a body. Two bodies. Yours and Beverly's.
You're a suspicious-minded devil, Lucia.
I plan to trap you on a murder charge. My murder. But it's going to be your murder now.
You were convinced that Beverly and I were in love?
Of course. I never needed a dream nor a premonition. I cut myself and smeared blood on the bed and disappeared. When I found they couldn't touch you without the corpus delicti, I came back to kill you.
Lucia, you fool. You vicious-minded fool. I'm going to tell you something. Then go ahead and shoot me if you will. Lucia, not until now, this very moment, has the thought of loving Beverly ever occurred to me.
You never loved Beverly?
No. But I can tell you this, Lucia. Now that I've seen you as you really are, I could never love you again. Never.
Gil!
Wait, Beverly.
But I was sure. I was convinced that you would ever...
You were sure only because your warped, jealous mind convinced you that there was something between us.
You mean I...
You've certainly made a sorry mess of your life, Lucia.
Then I... All I've done is killed your love. Oh, Gil!
Yes, Lucia. And you've no one to blame. No one but your own miserable self.
Gil!
Lucia! Don't! Lucia!
Oh, Gil! Gil!
Yes, yes, Beth. But it's probably the best thing for her and for us.
About this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.